Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Wednesday, October 7th. We're back with you. Beautiful day outside, Jen.
It is.
Right? But yeah. They're saying it's going to get hot again.
It's supposed to be 97 on Friday.
Yeah. And actually hundreds in the valley, I think. So we're not over the heat yet.
No.
Yeah.
It's cool. It's just like mid-October. No big deal.
I know, right? But I've been enjoying the weather. It's been just perfect here in LA. And I think upper 70s, lower 80s, and that's just perfect. You know, I'll take that all year.
Not me. I'm ready for, 70s.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's fall. Yeah. It doesn't even seem like it.
I know. It's like we ask for what we want here, and we usually get it.
I don't know that
rain.
We do.
Yeah, except for rain.
I also don't think that we're going to get the 70s weather until, like a month from now.
Yeah, like November or something.
Maybe.
Probably.
I wonder what winter's going to look like here. Well, they said it's supposed to rain.
Yeah, I think it will rain. I'm pretty convinced that it will.
Okay.
So that'll be good because I've been reading what scientists say. So if they're fooling me, I'll be very upset, you know.
Well, we'll see.
So yeah, we're supposed to have the El Nino effect. And that brings in a lot of rain. I just hope we won't get floods, you know. I mean, did you see what's going on in South Carolina?
Yeah.
I mean, that's scary stuff, man. I mean, the water's so high. And how many people have died? Like over 10 people?
Oh, I don't know.
But it's, it's pretty tough there, man. There was a little controversy with Al Roker. I guess he went down there to cover the floods and everything. And he took a selfie of him and his friends laughing and stuff. And when in the background, there's damage. You know, you can see a car that went over the bridge and things like that. And it's just a selfie that people found inappropriate. So,
well, what was the caption?
I don't know if there was a caption, but they were just laughing or smiling, posing for the picture where people felt it wasn't appropriate, you know.
Oh,
so,
goodness.
Yeah. They didn't really write anything on it. I don't see that they did. But they were smiling while a damaged car rests in a portion of the road.
Well, what if they were smiling for other reasons, not because of the damage?
Well, no, I'm not saying they were smiling about the damage, but maybe they were smiling in spite of it, which people probably took the wrong way. You know, they're saying, look, people are dying here, and you guys are standing there laughing when you're supposed to be covering the story.
Did he not do his job? Did he not cover the story?
I think they did, but maybe afterwards, you know. The point is that he felt that the criticism was correct, so he deleted it later.
Well, of course he did.
Yeah.
Because he has no choice.
Because of the pressure, right?
What's he going to fight the thing? It's not worth it. But it's also, I'm sorry, people just are so sensitive that's incredible that they made a stink about a photo that he posted.
Right.
Also, are you covering the news? Everybody else that's pointing fingers, are you out there in the flood covering the news? Mm. Are you? No. So, who cares? He posted a photo. The guy has done a million things. He goes into places people don't want to go, and he covers the news, and he's been doing this for a million years. So he's going to post one photo. Now you're going to attack him.
Right. But that's the thing. Everybody gets offended, Jen. You know,
it's ridiculous. People need to find something else to do with their time.
I know. I'm just trying to figure out what he was thinking, but you know,
who cares?
Or what
he took
the people
a
are thinking? Yeah. Yeah. He probably didn't even think about it.
No, maybe he liked the people he was in the photo with.
Yeah, and maybe people always laugh and smile when they take selfies because it's a funny thing.
Right. But also, what are you going to do? Be sad in the photo? Then, I mean, I just don't. It's ridiculous. It's honestly ridiculous.
Yeah. I posted about this. Did you see that they removed the Ten Commandments?
No.
From they had a little monument that they had in where was it, Oklahoma, I think. I'm venturing to say Oklahoma, but at any rate, people found it offensive that on government grounds you would have the Ten Commandments. So they show a video of the workers coming in at night when nobody can see them and removing this. And this is obviously sparking an outrage because people are saying, you know, what's wrong with that? You know, I mean, why do we have to destroy everything that has to do with God and religion? I mean, you know, it's not only bad things about religion, you know. And if you notice that the Ten Commandments, a lot of people don't maybe pay attention. But most of them are basics. We use as basis for our laws today, you know, do not murder and all these other things. So, yes, there's a couple of, like, specifically religious things, but many of these laws have served to really preserve society, I think, for many years. So to write it off like that, and, you know, again, I mean, as long as we have in God we trust, in our on our money, and we continue to be, you know, I mean, even I saw a quote from George Washington saying, you know, something to the effect of, you know, a country without God is impossible to govern or something like that. I don't know.
So what's your take on this?
My take on this, that it sucks that they removed it. Okay, I don't think it should have been removed. It's usually to appease a small group of people. You know, I mean, the thing is, it's been there for a long time and nobody really cares, you know.
That so it's there?
It's part of culture, I think, yeah. What do you think? You think they should remove it?
I think because it's about laws and that's like where the laws originated from and it's part of history, that it should stay. If it were like a psalm or like a or something else, right. If it were something just more religious that had nothing to do with the laws,
right.
Then I would say remove it just because we're like there's a whole thing about church, like separation of church and state.
Right.
You know, and if that's a real thing, then there should be a separation. Mm-hmm. Unless that particular thing from the church back in the day had some effect on the laws today.
Right. Well, I don't know.
If it's a belief, that's different from a law. So right. I think that people's beliefs should remain theirs and not necessarily be, you know, put on anybody else.
Right. But, you know, this nation was founded on Christianity. You know, it's not like... When they meant separation of religion and state, they didn't mean to do away with religion.
No, but they shouldn't be together. Like, just because there's state doesn't mean there's Christianity anymore. You know, like, there's so many other religions. And I think that part of us all being tolerant of each other's religions is not putting one above others. Mm-hmm. And so if we're going to continue to, like, you know, cite things from Christianity and associate that also with how we run ourselves, mm-hmm. people are going to feel alienated or they're going to feel like that's the, you know, favorite religion. Also, same thing with like our presidents today. Like they don't have to be waspy presidents anymore.
Right. But my question is why does it bother anybody that it's there?
Well, I don't know about the Ten Commandments specifically. I mean, that's probably just grouped in with the rest of religious elements, but I'm okay with that particular one. But with anything else, I don't think, you know, I think we have to adjust with the times. Yes, things are historical. Put it in a museum. Put it in an American History Museum. Put it in a religious museum. Put it in that particular location's like wall of artifacts, like inside the building. Mm-hmm. I don't think that there should be anything to do with religion in public spaces because it's not everyone's religion.
Right. Okay.
That's how I feel.
All right, yeah. I mean, that makes sense. It totally makes sense. But, you know, I don't know. It's just that I pose things where a small group has to force its views on everybody else, you know. I don't think by putting the Ten Commandments there, you're having a small group of people imposing their stuff on other people. You don't want to pay attention, don't pay attention. But you know, I don't know if it was funded by the government or not, but probably was. So I can see where some people might have a problem with that. But if that's true, then we have to start looking at everything the government funds. And, you know, even Planned Parenthood. I have nothing against Planned Parenthood. But the question is, should it be a government thing or should it be a private thing? You know, I mean, should we really fund it, you know, rather than have like small private groups doing this?
So what do you think?
So all I'm saying is if you fund one, then you got to fund the other. You know, if you're removing the Ten Commandments there, then funding Planned Parenthood, I think, would be a problem. But at the same time, because, you know, again, it has to do with people's beliefs, I guess. But then everything does.
Everything does.
Right?
Right.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I just, some things just don't feel right sometimes. And then I question them and I go, well, I don't know. I mean, from whose perspective is it right or not? You know?
Right.
Yeah. But, okay, so, all right, whatever. So we know our opinions about that. And I just think that if they, I mean, what was the reason they did it at night so nobody would see? I don't know. Somebody was feeling bad about it. But,
well, hopefully it'll make it not an issue. But, I mean, obviously it's an issue if we're talking about it.
Yeah, it has been an issue, yeah.
I don't mind that they did it at night. Is that the whole issue, that they did it at night?
No, that's not the issue. The issue is that it was removed in the first place, you know. So today's an exciting day. October 7th is the first day of Jen and Lauren's new radio show.
Yeah.
Now, you guys have waited for this a while, so I'm really happy for you because the day's finally here.
Thank you. Yes.
Right?
We're very excited.
And you guys have planned for it for quite a long time.
We sure have.
Yeah. And kudos to you, you know, I mean, for putting it together. You guys can see, if you want to go after something, you can, you know. I mean, you did something that's pretty courageous, you know, going on a crowdfunding website and had people help you fund your show and everything. And that's amazing. You know, I think when people actually help you, they realize you have solid dreams and that you'll go through with it.
Yeah. I mean, it's very humbling for us because we are very moved by the fact that people have rallied around us and for us and helped campaign for us with the Kickstarter. And, you know, you like while you're in the midst of it, you're obviously we have deadlines and things and we've like, you know, OK, there's 30 days in the Kickstarter campaign. Every day goes by. We have to like promote it. And as it's happening, like, I think Lauren and I did a really good job. Well, that I would like to think that we did a good job of trying to like take in each moment. So somebody would donate and we would celebrate. Then somebody else would donate and we would celebrate. And not celebrate in the sense of throw ourselves a party or go out and like drink or anything. But like we would say to each other, wow, we can't believe that person donated. Like, you know, obviously.
And it's cool, you know, I mean, because you realize you have friends and you have influence.
I mean, not just friends. We have family. We have strangers that donated. There's just so many people. Then, you know, after that whole experience happened, we celebrated that together and, like, you know, within ourselves. And then became the point where we had to throw ourselves a launch party because we were like, well, we got to promote this thing now that we've got it. So also we wanted to celebrate the fact that, like, we actually did it and have a moment right before we started to say, like, all right, it's happening. Thank you to you guys. This is all happening now. So that happened. We celebrated like internally, like, all right, all these people showed up to our launch party. Gift bags were given. Like people contributed to the gift bags. 17 different companies contributed to the gift bags.
Wow.
So the 17 different companies believed in us.
And you guys contacted all of them to do this?
Yeah.
Wow. That's a lot of work.
Yeah.
Wow.
So then we did that. And then we had to promote it on social media. And then, you know, there's actually putting together the show and starting to book guests and like people are wanting to be on our show. People are reaching out to be on our show. And now we're booked through the end of November.
Wow.
So it's like, you know, just from start to finish this and no finish because it's never going to end. Yeah. But it's been a really humbling process and very exciting and moving and empowering also because like if you look back at your accomplishments or our accomplishments, we can say like we did all this ourselves.
Yeah,
no one helped.
We made it happen. Exactly. Exactly. And that's the key to success, you know? I mean, you gotta, first of all, you gotta really love what you do or what you want to do. Because if you don't, you're not going to put in as much effort into it.
Yeah.
Right? But when it becomes something that's like a big deal in your life, you're going to do whatever it takes.
Right.
You know? And I see stories like this all the time and of people taking chances, going after what they believe. Okay, you're not always going to win, but at least give it a chance.
Right.
You know, and do what you can. And I have a lot of respect for you guys for doing that.
Thank
you know,
you.
Because many people have just said, oh, it's not, I can't do this. It can't happen, blah, blah, blah. And wouldn't do anything about it, you know.
Right.
So it's good. And also I think shows You have influence among people. I'm not saying it in a bad way, but in a good way, where you can drive people to action.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's a big deal. It's a big deal.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, that's why whenever we talk about, like, celebrities and things doing stupid things, it's like, really? You have this, like, forum to do all this amazing stuff. Why aren't you doing it? Uh-huh. Why are you doing silly things in the news or negative things? So, I mean, not that Lauren and I are celebrities by any means. I mean, I've gotten recognized maybe twice, which is cool. But, yeah. You know, and people follow us on social media and whatever. But, I mean, I would hope that if we had the opportunity to do anything to help anybody or to promote anything positive, since we have the forum, we would.
Yeah, exactly. So for those who don't know, tell us a little bit about what the show will be about.
So It's Complicated is a look into dating and relationships from our perspective and also from the perspective of our guests. So we will be talking about online dating, the best apps, what happens in both of our lives, what happens in our guests' lives, anything that the guests are experts on or whatever they're promoting that ties into, you know, basically our theme, dating and relationships. And it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. It's going to speak to a lot of people who are in similar situations where they're dating, they're trying to find the right person, and sometimes do whatever it takes, you know.
I mean, funny things happen along the way. And so we're going to talk about those things very openly. We're not going to use names, so nobody needs to be afraid of what's coming out of our mouths. We're just going to talk about things you face, like issues and certain circumstances or, like, you know, certain weird things that happen on dates or,
yeah,
like first dates and what that can be like and choices people make while dating.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's going to be the predominant, like, what we're talking about. But we're going to talk about apps, things in the news, a bunch of stuff.
So will you be open to questions, too, when people call in and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they ask you, because I'm sure there's a lot of people that probably have a lot of questions about all these things, you know?
Hey,
and you guys actually live those things, so you can share it with other people.
So the other thing about our show is that, yes, while we are living it and all that, we're 30. We're in our 30s, you know? We're different ages in our 30s, but we're both in our 30s, and we've now come to this place together, and I think it brought us together on a lot of our opinions because you stop caring about certain things in your 30s. But there's other 30-year-olds out there, you know, that are right, single, and it's not like it was in your 20s, like back in the day when people were married and having kids already, especially in LA. I don't know many people that are married with kids in their 30s, like that are in their 20s doing
that. Right.
So it's a later process, I think, out here. So we're going to give our perspectives on being in our 30s, too.
Yeah. You see, that'd be cool. I remember when I was in my 30s, there was a series called 30-something. Have you ever heard of it?
Yeah.
And that was cool. I mean, it's like I felt at the time, I think it was like in the 90s, yeah, that's when I started my family and everything. And we were watching this, and I really connected to it. It was sort of an emotional show. But it showed people our age, you know, bringing kids to the world, the issues they have, the problems they have. So the 30s is pretty, I mean, that's when you really set up your life, I think, your adult life.
Yeah.
You know, that's when you settle down. That's when you decide, this is going to be my mate. This is who I'm going to have family with.
You make big decisions.
Very big decisions, you know. So the 30s come with a lot of responsibility, definitely.
They sure do. Well, the good thing about It's Complicated, I mean, as far as the title of our show goes, everything in life can be complicated. Mm-hmm. So while we may be talking about dating and relationships now, in, you know, however much time it takes for Lauren and I to, like, get to that next phase in our lives, that could be what It's Complicated is about then.
Right, exactly.
You could just change the content.
Yeah, it'll be It's Complicated by married women with kids.
Exactly. It's Complicated. We're 80 years old.
Yeah.
You know, whatever it is. Like, this show, we sort of created it in the way that it can be broad enough to cover a lot of things.
Yeah. Very cool. Very cool. So you guys have to tune in today an hour after we go off the air. So that'll be 12 noon Pacific time.
Yeah.
And it's going to be here on Channel 1. So you guys have to listen. So today you're going to have phone guests, right?
Correct.
Or guests.
Yep.
And they were on the show before. And mm-hmm. that was cool that you found it interesting, you know,
yeah,
about the soulmate experience.
We have a couple guests actually coming on our show from this show. Anybody relationship based that I remembered, I reached out to, and you know, like the people that do the great love debate.
Oh, so you contacted them too?
Yeah,
yeah, they're like all over the place lately.
Yeah, they are. Right? We have matchmakers coming on, dating and relationship experts. Laurel House is going to be a guest on our show.
Oh, she is.
Yeah.
Oh, very cool.
Then we've got, you know, just like different actors. Michael Rosenbaum from TV Land's Impastor will be in December. Just got a bunch of people. A music video director is going to be in next week.
Yeah. You see, Lauren House would be interesting because I was thinking about it. Because she's what? She, by her own admission, she's 38 and she just had a baby.
Yeah.
And she's not married.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, that's something that I think some people may relate to. And
I'm sure whatever she's gone through is also, you know, complicated.
Exactly. And people go through that as well. But I'm sure it was calculated, thinking that, you know, I mean, I'm just trying to guess what she was thinking. But, you know, I got to 38. I haven't found a mate yet, or I don't want to settle down or whatever. But I want a kid. You know, my clock is running out. Yep. So that's a question there. You know, I mean, is that fair for the kid? I don't know. I mean, it could be controversial, no?
I don't think so. Not in today's day and age. Mm. What, I mean, and we're not necessarily looking for controversy either, but we are interested in, like, you know, what went through her head and, like, what she faces now. Right. And also, why are people single at 38? Like, that's a lot different than it used to be.
Right. But, you know, I mean, that's the thing. Maybe they haven't found anybody.
Right.
Know? I don't know.
I mean, I would rather, you know, just based on me, like, be single at 38 than be with the wrong person.
Yeah.
I would never want to settle. And also, people face different things to get there. Like, she could have, I mean, we've heard her story, but, like, at 38, you could also be married and divorced.
Right, exactly.
And you could be starting over.
Right. But the question is, for me, the controversial thing about it is that, is it fair to the baby to be born in a one-parent family?
Totally.
Yeah?
I think so. I mean, some women are running for president these days, you know?
No, they do. But shouldn't a kid have a father? I mean,
ideally,
maybe the father will be involved too, you know, but she may not want the father involved.
Right. I mean, you know what? There are so many single parents out there and kids doing just fine. And, right. And you know, there are also families where the father dies or the father leaves at when the baby's born.
Yeah, like, but that's not like by design.
No, you know? But it happens and it can be done and the kid comes out just fine. Well, like, they are raised just fine. So do I think it's unfair to the kid? No, I think, you know, in an ideal world, maybe they would have a dad, but maybe that dad will come later.
Either that or provide a male figure in the family.
Right. I mean, there could be an uncle. Yeah. There could also be...
Because they show that families without a father do not turn out very well. You know, I mean, you need both sides.
I'm sure there will be developments in this child's future that will make him okay, or her.
That's true. I mean, it's not the end of the world. She probably will find someone eventually, you know. But I don't know. I knew a friend of a friend who had a baby for under the same circumstances, but they were like in a way, in an abnormal way, so close that, I mean, they would cling to each other. I mean, they were part of each other. And this was a little girl and her mother. And I thought it was kind of an unhealthy relationship. I don't know.
It could very well be. Yeah. Therapy will hopefully right those wrongs later. But I don't know. Then also, like, you know, you kind of have to ask the question too. Like, if you want a kid so bad, maybe adopt a kid. Yeah. Like the kids that need families and homes that are in foster care here.
Yeah. But then again, I mean, I don't know. Does this really have anything to do with each other?
Because
if you want your own child, you should be able to.
You should be able to. But right. I also think that if you want one so badly, maybe that adoption's a good option, because you're not only doing something for yourself by becoming a parent, but you're also doing something for the zillions of kids in the United States that need homes, too. Right. That's just an option. I'm not saying that, like, Laurel needed to do that because she can do whatever she wants. But as, like, let's say a single parent and you really want a kid and you've waited however long, maybe just go adopt.
How's the situation these days? I mean, do you think they give hard time to single parents if they want to adopt?
Probably, but I think people have dealt with that many times and succeeded. I think adoption in general is probably pretty hard.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's hard to qualify, but I would imagine if they let gay couples adopt, and maybe they do to single parents too.
You know, I would guess so.
The situation is not like quote unquote normal or, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, the thing is, this day and age, no family is normal.
Right.
Like modern family. Like there's just a different, families are just different now.
Right, exactly. You have stepbrothers, stepsisters, and all that stuff, but it's still families, you know.
Right. Yeah. I think if you have love and people, you have family.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. These times require a lot of open-mindedness, you know, because we're changing a lot of things that were traditional for hundreds of years.
Right.
So that's why I think it's hard to think forward like that until it becomes like, you know, the norm or something. You know,
I love that things are changing. Yeah. And I love that it's like provocative, and I love that people are talking and debating over things. I mean, the fact that we can do it on the, like, a radio show is awesome, but it's just such exciting times. Like, real changes are hopefully going to be made at some point. It might take a while, but it's happening.
Like, what changes do you think, for example?
Well, like we were talking about yesterday, you know, like what President Obama has done, not necessarily for the country, but what we hoped he had done as far as like bridging the gap between races and things. I do think that will happen. It's just going to take some time.
Yeah.
I mean, there was slavery forever, and then there was, we're still dealing with like civil rights and people killing each other, like at voting things and preventing people from voting. I mean, how is that even still a thing?
Right. No, that's true. Does that still happen?
I mean, not killing, but like I think there are people that, you know, prevent people from voting.
Right. I remember when I was a kid, at least in Israel, it was people would keep who they voted for as a secret. And I guess many people want to keep it a secret. That's why when we go to the polls, it's you have curtains around you and everything.
Right.
It's a private thing. But you're right. I mean, I think there's a certain point where people were afraid for their lives if people found out who they were voting for.
Right. You know?
Those were different times.
I mean, how scary is that?
Yeah, I know.
The fact that, I mean,
totally backward.
What's so crazy to me is just why people care so much about other people. Yeah. Like what they're doing.
Right, right. Because, because people feel that, hey, if this is my opinion, then you need to live the same way that I do.
Right.
And that sucks, man.
And who are you to
decide? Exactly. Who are you? And when it's taken to an extreme, it becomes something like Islamic extremists when they try to impose their thoughts on everybody and they will kill you if you don't.
Right.
So, you know, so that's the extreme case of this, but it does happen.
Yep.
Yeah. Have you heard of the term phubbed? PHUBBED?
No. What's that?
Okay, that's snubbed by someone with a phone. Phone snubbing.
Okay.
And they're saying, well, obviously this is like when you're with someone and you're looking at your phone.
Right.
And not communicating with them.
Okay. Phubbed.
So, phubbed.
That's silly.
Yeah. I guess phone snubbed. But
why do we need words like that?
I don't know.
Then again, I mean, Lauren and I have a whole language that nobody even understands.
Really?
We're hoping that our radio show will make things more common amongst the people.
Yeah. You're going to use those terms?
No, not phubbed, but like our own terms.
No, your own terms.
Oh, yeah. People will just catch on. You'll get used to it.
Yeah.
It'll be because when we use it in context, like phubbed, I mean, that's weird to me. You just taught me a word. But like if we used it in conversation, maybe I would be like, oh, okay, that word makes sense. But so she and I speak a very special language of English. And we're hoping that at some point after we've said things enough over the air, our words will be added to the Oxford Dictionary.
Yeah. Do you feel it's kind of embarrassing to let other people in on that way that you talk to each other?
Why would that be embarrassing?
I don't know. I mean, at least when I was young, my brother and I developed a backwards language. Okay, we would say everything backwards.
I mean,
nobody
that's pig
could
Latin.
Understand. Something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, something like pig Latin. And nobody could understand us. And but I would be embarrassed to talk like that around people that didn't understand it.
But isn't the point to talk about, to use that language so people couldn't understand?
Right. But then, you know, but we didn't do it like around people, you know. I mean, it would be kind of weird. It's just that we developed a language, you know.
Well, I'm still confused why it's embarrassing.
I don't know, because it's something that only we did, and then suddenly you make it public, and people would look at you like, what the hell are you talking about? I don't know. Those are the young feelings I had.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You seem to still remember them very clearly.
I do.
You probably got to let go of that.
Because we developed the whole frigging language, and it's amazing because I hear a lot of people do that. You know, different languages, they just connect.
I mean, our language is English, but we've created words that are, you know, very particular to us. But then again, that's how words get started. Mm. Somebody's got to create it.
Yeah.
But so, I mean, I don't know if you've, I don't think I've ever said the word that I'm embarrassed about anything. Right. So there's that.
Right.
We'll just cross that one right off that list of things that I am and am not. But we just are us. And, you know, I think that people that watch like Two Drunk Girls or hang out with us, I guess, you know, either like it or don't. And right. You don't have to listen. You don't have to watch. Or you do and you think it's funny.
Right.
Or you watch us and you're like, you can make fun of us all you want. We don't care. That's the thing is we don't care.
Right. Exactly.
We have a radio show. We're going to talk about what we want to talk about. You listen or you don't.
Exactly. Turn the station if you don't like it.
Exactly. So, yeah, we have no shed of embarrassment as far as the things we say and do.
Great. That's cool.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I guess I'm talking about times when I was really young. I mean, you know, you have a lot of insecurities when you're young. I don't even remember all of them. But
oh, I mean, hey, yeah. I had my share. My mom put me in child therapy because I, like, thought my two friends hated me.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, how sad. Yeah.
It's sad, but, hey, I worked through it.
Yeah, people do go through these things, for sure. Yeah. I know. I wish I had someone to guide me. All I had was cousins that were older than me. They would just get in trouble all the time. Luckily, I didn't become like them, but that's the influence I had to live with.
Mm.
So, yeah, I did not have an older brother. You obviously didn't either.
Nope, so, I have no siblings.
Right, so you have to sort of like figure it out on your own when you're first born or a single child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And thankfully, I had parents, but...
Yeah.
And schools and things.
Yeah. And, so this, we've talked about the birth order before, right?
Yep.
And I saw somebody actually posted something and it was so friggin' accurate.
What?
About firstborn, secondborn. I can't remember all of it, but, you know, I mean, the firstborn and the, and they had a column for only child also. So, God, I wish I saved it. I wanted to save it too. But the reason I brought it up is because it's accurate. You know, firstborns are more perfectionists. They are more ambitious. They are more organized. You know, they look for, you know, there's a lot of pressure on them as a first child, you know, or as an only child.
Right.
So I think it's similar in many ways until the next kid is born. But then, you know, the second ones are more reliable, which is true, like my brother is. I mean, reliable in a way... I mean, I'm very reliable. I'm dependable. I'm always there. But I'm not the one that always likes to help out, you know? I mean, I do, but not like my brother. I mean, he'll go out of his way to do things for people.
Second children or middle children are people pleasers.
Right. Oh, you think?
Yeah.
You don't think firstborns are like that?
No.
I think so because...
Not as much as second kids.
Yeah. That makes sense. I probably should catch up on that and read another book on those things because I read it a long time ago, but it really makes sense because you can explain why people behave in a certain way and understand them better.
Absolutely.
When you just know what order they were born in.
I mean, there's so many things you could read about to like further understand people. You can know about their astrological signs.
Right.
That tells a lot about a lot of people, except that then you've got rising signs and moon signs, and that affects people differently, too. Like, a Capricorn is not the same as another Capricorn.
Yeah, that's true.
So
you have to have your own chart.
Right. Done. I mean, but you can, you know, gauge a little bit about the person just by knowing their astrological sign. Also, like, where they grew up. That tells you a lot about somebody.
Right. Their background.
Right.
Their family.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. That's one of the most important things you want to look at is the background where somebody comes from, you know, because that's what shapes them. And, it's not necessarily going to be a bad family or bad background, but if it's something that's not compatible with how you think, it's going to create a problem.
Right.
You know, like if someone comes from a religious family and you're anti-religion or something, it's not going to work.
No. You know? Or in your case, different politics.
Yeah, different politics. Although I never had this thing before where it affected my relationship at all. But then again, I've never been more into politics than I am now. So we'll see what happens there. But I would imagine I'd probably want to find someone who's like-minded, you know?
Right.
Otherwise, I'd get upset.
That's
why
a weird,
are you thinking that way?
That's a weird thing, though, to talk about on a date. It's like the least romantic conversation ever.
I'm not saying it would be on a date. I'm just saying right. if you're to get married with someone.
Well, in your dating profile, you could just put, you know, whatever you are.
Right, exactly.
Like, I'm a staunch whatever.
But yeah, politically serious and...
Yeah, be prepared to debate if you're not what I, if you're not into what I'm into.
Yeah. You know, you're talking about debate. That brings up an article I pulled up here that they held a debate with debate teams between Harvard and a bunch of inmates.
Yeah.
And the inmates won
yeah.
the debate. I mean, what is this, you know? So.
Well, but why did they win?
Why? I guess the argument, the way the arguments were structured, I don't know how they score those things. Mm-hmm. But it's a debate where you make arguments, I guess, for your own side. The topic was topic was about schools, I guess. And, you know, like, yeah, I don't know where that part is. But it's about schools and, oh, if there should be guns and all that stuff. And... or gun-free zones and all that. So that's pretty pretty interesting, you know, to see.
Well, that is very interesting. So are they saying that, you know, these inmates are being educated properly and trained properly? Like, obviously, they beat the Harvard debate team.
Right. I think that's what we're trying to say, yeah. Right. I mean, isn't it? Because apparently somebody did a good job with them.
And that's amazing because... A lot of people, you know, say that the prison system actually, like, ruins people even further. It doesn't help. It doesn't rehabilitate.
Right.
And so for these people to become so, I mean, not that we have no idea what their education was before they got in jail. Also, right. Are they white-collar criminals, blue? What are they?
They're not saying. Well, actually, I think they're criminals. High-security prison.
Oh, well.
Yeah. Maximum security prison. Yeah. Wow. So that's pretty impressive. Now, I don't know if they're necessarily smarter, but maybe they just debated this topic to death and practiced on it.
Well, yeah, I don't necessarily think winning a debate makes you smarter than somebody else. Right, makes you better at debating.
Right. Or
which is a great skill.
Or at knowing that specific topic.
Right.
You know, like you really study up on it and things like that. Like, yeah, like now, for example, if somebody tries to argue with me about... I don't know, ISIS, Islam, and all that, they better know their stuff because I do.
Right.
You know, I know what's going on. So in order to debate and to argue with someone, you got to know something about it. You can't just call people names and things like that, you know.
No, you have to be educated.
Yeah. Let's
see,
there's
facts.
A phone call, Jen, so let's go ahead and take that. Good morning, you're on the air with us. Go ahead. Hello? Hello? I never have patience for these people. Now you see why I don't answer calls.
Well,
I just sometimes they come through and I go, okay, you know what? Well, maybe we have a few minutes. We'll take a call. But I don't know who the hell calls and into a wrong number. So that's the debate with the inmates. Something related, they're saying that they're releasing 6,000 inmates.
Yeah, I saw that.
Did you see that?
Yes.
And why are they doing that?
Because of finances. Because they don't have room for everybody, and it's just too much to keep them.
Oh, like the overcrowded prisons and stuff.
Yeah, I think it's like drug offenders.
Right, mostly drug offenders. But they're saying still these people have spent an average of 9 years in prison already for drug offenses. So, and it's not automatic. Not everybody is going to be able to, not everybody that falls into that category is going to be let go. They're going to actually do reviews and see what's going on.
I hope these people are rehabilitated.
Yeah, I know. I know. I don't know, but it depends. I mean, they're saying nonviolent drug offenders. So, yeah.
So what does that mean? Like drug dealers, people that use drugs, people that had it on them?
Right, that's the thing. I mean, people that use drugs, you know, shouldn't really sit in prison. But that's my opinion. But
they should go to rehab.
Right.
Yes, you know, it's against the law, but like, okay, So hopefully by 9 years, they've learned that they shouldn't carry drugs. Right.
But they do that. I mean, I know that they send them to rehab, but how come some people still end up going to prison? Maybe because they're repeat offenders or something.
Probably. And also because you're not legally supposed to have, like, it's against the law.
Right.
So while you may have an addiction that needs curing, you also committed a crime.
Right. You're breaking the law and stuff. Right. I mean, I don't know how many of these are just sitting there for marijuana, but that's ridiculous.
Well, you obviously will have an issue against that. Well, those poor people probably didn't have, like, their card or something, which now is easier to get.
Right.
So now that they're out, they can probably just get a card.
That's the thing. You know, I mean, that's the point.
Welcome back to the world.
Yeah. It just doesn't justify putting people in jail these days.
No, I think we have bigger fish to fry.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, listen, you want to have drugs on you and you want to have an addiction, I don't know that you go to jail for that. You shouldn't carry, like, drugs. You shouldn't have open containers in cars and drink and drive, that kind of thing.
Yeah, well, cars, yeah.
Yeah, but, like, if you have it on you, I don't know that, for me, unless you have an intent to sell or hurt somebody else, right. Like, it's your own choice.
Yeah, it's victimless,
you're an idiot.
You know?
You are an idiot and you need to go to, like, rehab or something, like, or just stay home.
Right.
Do your drugs at home.
Yeah.
But to be at, like, to go to jail for 9 years, I mean, again, I don't know if that's why they're there. But also, I don't mean all, it's like, ridiculous. Addicts are idiots, because you probably need help. But
yeah,
still, just stay home.
Yeah, exactly. Don't get caught, man.
Or that.
Don't get caught. So, okay, we talked about FUBD. The Martian. Do you have a desire to see that movie?
I do.
Matt Damon. Really? I mean, you know, it's sort of like reminiscent of what's his name? Tom Hanks. You know that movie,
yeah.
Castaway, right?
Oh yeah,
Castaway. And I think the movie Gravity also. I didn't see that one, but did that involve like one to two people or something?
Two.
Yeah, two people, but still not a lot. But with the Martian, he's alone. And he has to carry the whole movie.
Well, you know? If it's going to be anyone, I'm glad it's Matt Damon.
Right?
I could watch him.
I know. There are some people are so good. Like, Tom Hanks could carry that movie very well.
Yeah.
The
cast. Well, I just like looking at Matt Damon.
So. Oh, you do? Yeah. Okay. So it has nothing to do with his acting capabilities.
Nope. Definitely not.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Now, if you were not a good actor,
the truth.
I wouldn't be watching it. I heard it was great, though.
Is it a great movie?
That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
I don't know that it is. I've just heard it.
Yeah. You see, that's well, I think it did get good reviews by both moviegoers and critics. And, you know, so sometimes, but yeah, I mean, they have to be genius to make a movie like this if they're to keep your attention with only one person for 2 hours, you know. But it is a Ridley Scott movie. I happen to like most of his movies. He's good with big productions.
Yes.
So, yeah, I'd like to see that. I wouldn't mind. Also, Steve Jobs is coming out this Friday, and that should be pretty cool. They've done a lot of promotion for it, and it looks good.
Yeah, I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, it's funny because I've been still continuing to watch the movie Jobs with Ashton Kutcher, so
yeah.
I'm like confused. The two movies, I know, after I watch the other one. So maybe I'll give it a few more weeks, and then I'll watch the new one.
Yeah. But I'm seeing The Intern on Friday, which I'm very excited about. So I'll let you know how that is on Monday.
Yeah, I love Robert De Niro. He's cool. You know, so to put him in a situation like that, like fish out of water or something, you know, or like,
yeah,
you know, it's going to be funny. But it already came out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm just late.
Yeah.
I don't have any desire to rush to the movie theater on opening weekend.
Yeah, I know.
No, thank you.
Except I don't think, like, movies like this get such long lines anymore, you know, because people have so many different options for entertainment that I don't see the way it used to be, like with blockbusters. You have lines around the block and stuff. That'll probably happen with Star Wars.
Yeah, I mean,
but otherwise, opening weekends are not a big deal anymore.
No, tentpole movies they are. Like, people lined up for Twilight and all those Hunger Games.
Yeah.
People go crazy for those movies.
That's true, huh?
Yeah. I mean, they're not lining up for The Intern.
Right, not for The Intern.
It's also like a Nancy Meyers movie. It's like a rom-com.
Yeah.
Actually, I hope there's love in it.
A rom-com?
Yeah.
What is that?
Romantic comedy.
Oh, rom-com. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I thought you said wrong.
No.
Oh, wow. Yeah, romantic comedies. I actually like those sometimes. I can't remember the last one I saw. Do you remember what you saw? Romantic comedy recently?
Pitch Perfect.
Good
too.
One.
I actually saw Pitch Perfect 2 the other day. I watched The Longest Ride, which was not a comedy at all, but it was romantic and lovely.
Right.
Nicholas Sparks. No, I don't know. Mm. I watch the same ones over and over again, too.
Really?
It's Complicated is one of my favorite movies. Really? Something's Gotta Give. Pretty much those. How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. He's Just Not That Into You.
Yeah.
Those are like the staples.
Yeah. Something's Gotta Give was good, huh?
So good.
Yeah.
It's part of the reason I want to learn French.
Really?
Yeah. Because the fact that Diane Keaton and Amanda Peet, like, I mean, their characters walk into, like, the French bakery in the Hamptons, and they're speaking French to everybody, and they just bust out with, like, this French culture, but they're American. It's like, well, of course you can be cultured and learn other things. Like, I'd love to be just, like, cultured in French, you know, the language and literature and whatever, but... So, culinary.
Well, the best way would be if you went to live there for a year or something.
Right, okay, I'm going to go do that.
Well, I don't know. I mean, if it's important to you.
Yeah, I'll probably just learn
French,
it from here.
Yeah.
And then when I go there, I'll be fluent.
Yeah, that's true. Well, hopefully so. I mean, I took 3 years of French in school, and I mean, I can't really speak it. I can understand it pretty well.
Hmm. Yeah, but when you learn it in school, they teach you information. They don't teach you how to communicate with other people.
Mm. Yeah, plus it was different times too and different age. But it's, well, it is easier to learn a language when you're younger, they say.
That is true.
You know, I think there's something in the brain.
See, like, I would like to be fluent in French by the time I have a child, so then I can speak French to them and they can be
bilingual. That's true. That would be
bilingual.
Cool. Yeah. So at least marry a French speaking man or something, you know.
Oh, well, and now let's add another criteria. Okay. Sure. Not only do I want you to,
well,
like...
Well, French is important to you. Then do what it takes.
Yes, but it's important to me. So I don't know that they need to speak it.
French is an amazing language. I mean, there's some songs that I listen to in French that are just incredible. And I grew up with that stuff because in Israel you'd get music from everywhere.
Yeah.
Not just from here. So, so French was always a favorite language of mine.
I listen to French bistro music all the time. Like,
oh, really?
That's my background music when I'm working and stuff.
Yeah. Wow, really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's interesting. French bistro music. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to imagine what it's like.
Like Edith Piaf, what's her name? What? Edith Piaf, right? La Vie en Rose.
I don't know that. I don't know anything about that.
Oh, well, great. Good talk. Awesome. Moving right along.
All right. Well, Lauren's going to be here soon, folks.
Yeah, did you print her picture and put it on the wall yet?
Oh, Jen, you should have sent me an email. You know that.
Sam, it's your station.
I don't remember things. I know, but I have a million things to remember.
Sam, you need an assistant or like an intern or something.
I do.
It's
or just to write things down, you know?
Yeah.
But that's what. But look, it's easy because if you remember easier than I can, then just send me an email. Say, print the pictures. Everything you've sent me, I've done.
I'm going to take over. That's fine.
But we'll have pictures on the wall for you. No problem.
Thank you.
And so tune in to It's Complicated an hour from now right here on this channel. And you're going to have a lot of fun. Jen, good luck on the first show.
Thank you.
Good luck with everything. And I know you're going to do great.
Thank you.
And if you screw up here and there, it's no big deal. It's just live radio.
Yeah, it's just live. No big deal.
Exactly. We'll edit the damn thing later.
All right.
All right, everybody. Thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.